from Quality Radio Productions. It's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age, coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. I'm Jake Longwell. This hour, we have two programs from the CBS Radio Network for your listening pleasure. We'll begin with an episode of Suspense, by far one of the best-known thriller series of radio's golden age, running from 1942 all the way through 1962 on CBS. And we have a later episode of Suspense for you. This broadcast is program number 882 in the series. It aired on June 25th of 1961, and this marked a return to the air for Suspense as the series went off the air after its November 27th, 1960 broadcast. But the series was revived to replace Gunsmoke, which the previous week ended its 9-year run as a radio show. Many of the same sponsors that were heard on Gunsmoke in 1961 continued to sponsor Suspense, as you'll hear from the commercials on this episode. As I said, program 882 in the series, starring Elspeth Eric and Bernard Grant, the story written by Alan Sloan. Call Me at Half Past, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense, opening up this edition of the Upstate Radio Theater.
And now, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. A man talks to his wife and keeps talking to save his life. In just 30 seconds, Act One of Call Me at Half Past, written especially for Suspense by Alan Sloan.
The lively crowd today agrees. Those who think young say Pepsi, please. They pick the right one, the modern light one. Now it's Pepsi. For those who think young, so go ahead and pick the drink that lets you drink young as you think. Yes, get the right one, the modern light one. Now it's Pepsi. For those who think young.
Well, hello, Mr. Simmons. Right on schedule, huh? Your usual room?
If you have it, please.
Oh, we save it, Mr. Simmons. After all, how long have you been a regular with us at the hotel? 3-4 years?
Too long.
Yes, sir. Just call me Big Mouth. Would you please sign the register?
Why, sure.
Not that it's any of my business, sir, but if you don't mind my asking, how are things over at the hospital? Do they say?
Same as always, they say.
The wife's been lighting candles for you.
I appreciate that, Charlie. Now, I'd like to go upstairs and freshen up.
Oh, sure. Front, show Mr. Simmons to his room, please.
Yes, sir, coming right up. 509 for Mr. Simmons.
Yeah, you see, even the bellhops know you.
Right this way, Mr. Simmons. There you go. 509. After you, sir.
Just drop the bag anywhere.
I'll just check the bathroom.
Well, I'm sure everything's all right.
No, sir. No bath towels. I'll send a maid up with some.
All right, that'll be fine.
You know how it is with help nowadays.
Look, here. This is for you.
Well, thank you, sir. Anything else, you just call for number 12.
Yes, I'll do that. By the way, what's the right time?
All right, well, it's 5-2.
Thanks. My watch stopped on the train.
Mr. Simmons, if you don't mind my saying, you look real beat. If you want to grab an extra half-hour rest, there's another gentleman going to the hospital this afternoon, but he's driving. I'm sure he'd be glad of your company. Would you like me
no
to...
No, thanks. I'll take the bus.
Yes, sir. The maid will be up with the towels right away.
Your order, please.
This is Mr. Simmons in 509. Would you do me a favor?
Certainly, sir.
I'm going to take a nap. Would you call me at 5:30? And operator, keep ringing until I answer.
Don't worry, Mr. Simmons. We'll see you don't miss the bus.
Everybody knows. Lighting candles, saving my room, watching my time. Lord, Lord. Oh, Lord, again. Know it or not, believe it or not, she's in your hands. But one of these times, one of these days, let it be the last time, God. Please, please. Oh, the damn towels. Come in. All right, just a minute. Don't bother. Francis. Franny.
Hello, Cliff.
But what a... Honey, love, come in.
Thank you.
I thought you were the maid. Franny, what's happened? Why didn't they tell me? Ye gods, what are you doing?
Visiting you?
But they didn't call, they didn't write, they didn't wire. Oh, Franny, darling, this is unbelievable.
I thought you'd be surprised.
Let me take you in my arms, darling. Franny. Franny, you're well.
Am I?
Why, of course. If they've let you come down to meet me. But what a surprise.
Well, this will surprise you even more.
Franny, give me the gun.
No.
Be a good girl now. Give it to me. Come on now, Franny.
Get back.
Franny.
I said back.
Oh, honey, let's not do things like this. Oh, dearest heart, you're so... Franny.
I'm what? Go ahead, say it.
Franny, dear heart.
Don't dear heart me.
Please.
Oh, well, now that I like. Say please.
Franny, you're very upset. Now, let's
upset.
Sit down and...
That's a very poor diagnosis. They don't send people where you sent me because they're upset.
But I wanted you to get well, Fran. You see, the doctor...
Mad. Crazy, mad. No, there's nothing the matter with me. I just hate you, that's all, and I'm going to kill you dead.
No.
I am going to kill you.
No, you're not,
yes,
Franny.
I am. You sent me there, and there's nothing wrong with me.
Why, of course there isn't. Don't you see, that's why you're not going to do anything foolish. Only sick people do things like that. And you just said there's nothing the matter with you. Why, if they let you come to see me, you must be all well again. And if you're all well, why, you don't want to do anything foolish. Isn't that logical? Now, dear, doesn't that make sense?
Oh, I love to hear you talk like that. Let me come to see you. Nothing. I escaped.
All right, Franny. All right. Let's have a drink on, okay?
Get away from that phone.
I was only going to call room service.
I've had enough room service. For 3 years, you made them keep me in a room.
Yes, but it's all over now, see? Come on, Franny. Let's just get out of here and go home.
No. Not after all the trouble I had getting here. I had to smash my nice little clock. My nice little clock that you gave me. Inside a stocking on the guard's head. Crunch!
The little white clock?
Yes. Without any alarm. Why couldn't I have an alarm?
Oh, never mind, honey. Never mind. It doesn't matter.
Would you tell me?
I tell you what. Let's send down for coffee and cake, huh? And we'll talk about clocks and things.
I said stay away from that phone.
All right, dear. All right. Anything you say.
Anything you say. Ooh, how scared you are. Sure, I'll sit down. I can kill you just as
hey,
well
Fran,
sitting down.
Fran, you know, I just thought of something.
Why couldn't I have an alarm?
No. If you really escape, they'll be looking for you. See, so why don't I call them and say you're safe with me?
Because I'll kill you if you touch that phone again. Now, don't touch it anymore, Cliff. Because I don't want to shoot you right away. I want to watch you squirm and wiggle. Cliff?
Yes, dear.
What did they do to me? I can't remember things. I remember near things. How I put the clock in the stocking and how I swung the stocking and crunch and the guard fell down and... And how you always take the same room, but... I don't remember things, Cliff. And I have to remember so that I can kill you better.
Like about bells?
Bells?
Yes, bells, Franny. Alarm clocks and things like that. Can't you remember about bells?
No.
You used to get upset when you heard bells. Don't you remember?
No, I don't. Talk about bells. I want to remember bells.
All right. All right, Franny. The big bell on the church down the street.
Huh?
The school bell?
School? No.
The front door that went bing, bong, bing, bong.
Front door?
The alarm clock in the bedroom, the tinkle bells on the parakeet's cage,
parakeet?
And even the telephone.
Telephone? No, I didn't have a telephone. Yes. Yes, I did, but you made them take it away. You didn't want me to talk to anybody.
Oh, no, no, Freddy. What have I done? Forgive me. I'm sorry.
Why couldn't I have a phone?
Franny, honey, let me see the gun, will you? Yeah, I've never seen a gun so close.
Sit down.
All right, yes, yes. I am sitting down, you see?
Now tell me about the telephone.
Oh, Franny, my dear wife. It reminded you of...
Of what?
Of something.
What?
You mean you don't even... You don't remember.
Well, make me remember. Make me.
Donnie.
Donnie?
The baby. Donnie.
Whose baby?
Ours.
Do we have a baby?
No.
Well, then why do you say Donnie?
Because that was his name. Oh, Franny, please put that gun away, will you? Just come to me. Just let me hold you.
Why do you say Donnie?
Because back then there was a Donnie. With your hair and my eyes. Don't you remember? Franny, remember, remember. Remember my birthday. Remember.
Mommy making cake?
That's right, darling.
What you doing now?
I am mixing the batter for the cake.
Donnie cake.
Daddy cake.
I lick it.
Well, when I'm finished, you can lick the beaters. That's right.
I lick it now.
You beat it now.
Mommy beat it. Donnie lick it now.
No, I mean scat. S-C-A-T, scat. You go outside and wait for Daddy to come home. When he does, you can both lick the bowl. Go on now, scat.
Okay. I go ride my bike.
Donnie?
I have.
Don't ride too far and stay out of the driveway.
I say.
Oh, boys, yet. Oh, my eyes sick. Oh, if it's not one thing, it's sick. Oh, for goodness sake, does everything have to happen at once? Hold your horses, I'm coming. Donnie! There's Daddy! Donnie, get out of the driveway! Clear! Look out! Oh, you just made that up.
No, honey. No, it's true. And you see, when a telephone rings, you remember it. You live it again.
No, no.
Yes, when any bell rings, you remember it.
I was going to kill you because you put me in that place with the locks. Now I'll kill you if that story is true and you killed my Donnie with your car.
Oh, God, Franny. It was an accident. Don't you think I suffered?
Not the way I have.
I haven't had the blessing of forgetting.
Don't you yell at me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right, that's enough. Now turn around. No more talk. All right, then don't turn around. I'd just as soon look at you and watch you die. Let's play games. Let's count to three, hmm? One. Say it, one.
Fran.
One.
One.
The safety off. Two. Check the chamber.
Don't, Branny, please. You'll be all alone if you kill me.
One, two, just for you and one for me. Adds up to... Who's that?
I don't know.
It's them. They've come to take me back. Don't you move. Don't answer. Don't you talk.
No, no, no. It's just the maid.
It's the guards. You want it to be the guards.
No, it's only the towels. Fran, will you let...
All right, all right. Now, if it's the guards, I'll kill you. And if it's the maid, don't you let her in. And I'm right behind you.
Oh. It's you.
Your towels, sir. I'll put them in the bathroom.
Don't bother. I'll take them. Thank you.
Ah, the look on your face. You thought it was the guards. Just made with the towels, you said, but your face was an open book.
You know, speaking of books, I am reading the most interesting book you... Just let me put these towels away, and I'll tell you all about
it. Lock yourself in the bathroom? Oh, no. Put them down. Go on, throw them on the floor.
All right. But this book, it's one of those wonderful
now,
fantasy
stories. Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Now, stand on the towels. Right there. Ooh, it'll be so pretty. Red on white. And we won't mess up the room.
Fran, you're not going to kill me.
Why not?
Because I love you. Because people don't kill those who love them.
You don't love me.
If you know anything, you know that.
Well, I hate you.
But that proves you love me, see? Hate is just
Stop looking at your watch.
Oh, would you like to see it, Fran? It's new. I'll get you one even prettier if you want me.
You never get me anything. You make them do things to me, but you never bring me anything.
That is not so,
yes,
Fran.
Yes, it is so. You just take things away from me. You took the telephone away so I couldn't talk to anybody and locked me in the house all day so I couldn't see anybody.
Oh, do you remember that?
Yes, yes, I remember that. But I don't remember why.
Well, I had to, dear. I thought I could take care of you by myself. And for the baby...
What baby?
Donnie. Oh, Franny. I used to bring you lots of things when I came home. Watches and flowers and pictures, pretty things. You didn't want to go out. You wouldn't go out, so I brought you things. You said you were lonesome, remember? So I brought you something once for company. Fran, try to remember. It was the day I came home with something little and soft. Remember? Franny! Oh, Fran! Come see what I've got for you.
What?
Come see, dear.
No.
Oh, please, dear heart. Come and see.
Bring it to me.
Sweetheart, don't just sit in that chair by the window all the time. Please come see.
No, bring it here.
All right. Here. I'll open the box.
What's that?
Well, it's a kitten. Just a tiny little kitten.
What's it for?
To take care of. Something small and soft for you to take care of.
Not me.
Oh, come on. Look at her. Isn't she cute?
Take it away.
A tiny little kitty, Fran. Oh, come on, love. Hold her. If you hold her, you'll never want to let her go. She's so tiny. She needs someone to hold her.
I don't want it.
See? She wants you to hold
don't
her.
Don't put her on
me. Oh, Franny, she loves you. Listen to her purr. You see? There. How about that, Franny? What do we name her?
Listen to her purr. So little and soft. Kitty, 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 kitty,
kitty, kitty, kitty, kitty, kitty. There, there, kitty. Poor kitty. There. There. Franny. Oh, Franny. You killed her.
Huh?
You just twisted the life out of her. Why? Why?
Cat. Cat. Presents and cat. Why don't you bring my Dolly home? If you don't, I'll kill you too, you'll see. You'll see.
And you see, Freddy, that that's when we decided it was best for you to go to the hospital.
Hospital?
Love, it was better for you.
Safer for you, you mean? You were scared of me, weren't you? Just like you are now.
Honey, you must be getting awfully hungry. Why don't we go down and see if the dining room is open? It's nearly half past.
Oh, I'm hungry, all right.
Oh, then good. Let's go downstairs.
I'm hungry, all right, to see you die.
Granny, listen.
I wish I didn't need to use a gun. I wish I could squeeze you and squeeze you like a kitten with my hands, just with my hands.
Would you let me see your hands, Franny, dear? Those pretty hands of yours. Let's send out for a manicurist. You'll make them all beautiful with shiny nails.
I could tear your eyes
out. And your hair. Why, we could call the beauty parlor. You could have a permanent, a shampoo. Dear heart, how about a rinse? I can pick up the phone right now.
Chatter. Stop that. Stop.
It's getting late, Fran.
You're not going anyplace.
Franny, can I get a drink of water?
Salivary inhibition. Under fear or tension, the mouth becomes dry. Very interesting, very interesting.
Franny, I need a drink. Let's phone downstairs.
Let's phone for that. Let's not and say we did. Let's stop stalling. I won't let you do anything now but die. This time, you won't know when it's going to be. No counting, no games, no 1, 2, 3. Any minute now, you hear? Any minute now.
No, Franny. No, not here.
What's wrong with here? It's very pretty. I haven't been in such a pretty room for a long time.
Let me take you home. Pretty room's there. Look, we can just catch a train or rent a car. We can be home in 3 hours. And we can take it over. There's plenty of time.
Not for you! Cliff, honey.
Yes, Fran. Yes, darling.
Look at me, Cliff. That's right.
Oh, I am looking at you, dear heart. See?
Oh, see the poor little man ruining his Sunday go visiting, sure.
There's another in my bag.
Denson.
Anything you say, Fran. But let me change my shirt before we go down for dinner, hmm? They'll be ringing the dinner bell pretty soon.
You said bell.
I'm sorry, it slipped.
It didn't scare me. Bell. It doesn't bother me. Bell. Ding dong bell. Pussy's in the well.
Oh, Franny, that's wonderful. You see, you're all better. You can come home with me. You're all better. You don't have to kill me.
Don't.
No, you don't have to. Not anymore.
Yes, I do, and I'm going to, and it's about time. Oh, you're so clever. Oh, you stall and stall and stall with your bells and kittens and children.
Don't you remember Donnie? Sure.
There's no Donnie. There never was a Donnie. There's only me and you, and in a second there's not going to be anybody but me. You run out of time, Cliff. I'm going to kill you right now. Donnie, get out of the driveway! Cliff, look out! Donnie!
Front. Gee, Mr. Simmons. Have to put you in 704 this time. Hope you don't mind.
Oh. No, I don't mind.
How are things at the hospital, sir?
Oh, same as always. Would you tell the operator to call me at 7:30?
Suspense. You've been listening to Call Me at 7:30, written for Suspense by Alan Sloan. In a moment, the names of our players and a word about next week's story of Suspense.
Boy, am I glad this day's over. My athlete's foot is killing me. Itches and stings.
Hey, try NP27. Really worked for me.
NP27 treatment roots out athlete's foot, penetrates below skin surface where other remedies can't reach, even into toenails. NP27 liquid stops itch, relieves pain, promotes healthy tissue. NP27 powder guards against new infection. NP27 treatment roots out athlete's foot, or your druggist will refund your money. Featured in tonight's story of Suspense were Elspeth Eric as Fran and Bernard Grant as Cliff. Also in our cast were Lawson Zerbe, Sarah Fussell, Jack Grimes, Freddie Chandler, and Frank Milano. Suspense is produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr. Listen again next week when we return with Night of the Storm by Peter Fernandez. Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. The world's best balanced listening reaches you on this station of the CBS Radio Network.
Call Me at Half Past, an episode of Suspense, program 882 in the long-running series, from June 25th, 1961, on CBS. Suspense would run through September 30th of 1962, a night which many consider to be a fateful night, as it's often considered to be the end of the golden age of radio, with the final broadcasts of Suspense and yours truly, Johnny Dollar. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater, where the golden age of radio always lives. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the program, you can do so by email. The address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to submit your questions, comments, suggestions, and requests for old-time radio shows. If you want more information about the radio theater, such as detailed program playlists, or if you want to listen to this and previous episodes of the program at your convenience, then please head over to our blog and website at qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you're looking for the playlist or audio for this episode, it's Upstate Radio Theater program number 1717. We'll wrap up the hour with some comedy, as we have an episode of The Harold Perry Show, also known as Honest Harold. Harold Perry, of course, is best known as the longtime voice of The Great Gildersleeve, a role which he initially debuted on Fibber McGee and Molly before The Great Gildersleeve became a very successful radio series of its own on NBC. Well, I said that this program would be a CBS broadcast, and indeed it is. This show is a result of what many refer to as the Great Talent Raid. In the late 40s, CBS Radio lured many of NBC's top stars to their network for more money. Most notably Jack Benny, but many others also followed, including Harold Perry. The problem was, Kraft Foods, which sponsored The Great Gildersleeve, wanted to stay with NBC. So, Gildy remained with NBC, with a different actor portraying him, Willard Waterman, and Harold Perry went over to CBS and a new series, Honest Harold. Sadly, this series was not nearly as successful, as it only ran for 38 episodes in the 1950-1951 radio season. In this series, Harold Perry is a radio personality, hosting a very popular homemaker show on a small-town radio station. This is program number one in the series, airing on September 17th of 1950, Harold Loses His Job.
The Harold Perry Show. And now, Harold Perry is Honest Harold the Homemaker. The town of Melrose Springs boasts one radio station and one newspaper, both owned by an old boaster named Mr. Carruthers. One of the things he doesn't boast about is a radio program on his station called Honest Harold the Homemaker. Why? Well, you'll find out. Listening to Honest Harold is a morning must in Melrose Springs, especially with the ladies. Shall we join them?
Well, good morning, girls. Are you ready? Oh, woman likes to be told that her hair is fine as gold. She may know that you're her feller, but it's better when you tell her. A woman likes to be told. Yes, indeed, time to visit with your old teller, Honest Harold the Homemaker, bringing you news, views, and clues to good products. By the way, girls, I have a very important announcement to make later in the program that concerns all of you, so please stand by. But first,
Our postman, Little Billy, the Mighty Mite, and ex-jockey.
Good morning, ladies. Hal Pal, the outstanding letter today is from a lady in Charleville.
Charleville, eh? Well, thank you, Billy. Now, let's see. She says, last week I started trading with a different grocer. When the boy arrived at the delivery, I asked him his name. He said Truman. I said, is that your last name? He said, yes, ma'am, my first name is Harry. Harry Truman, I said? That's a pretty well-known name. He said, it ought to be. I've been delivering groceries around here for 4 years. Well, and now, girls, let's get serious for a moment. The other day, a very high-pressure salesman from California sold me on the idea of introducing a new shampoo product on this program. Because it was new and not fully tried and tested, I asked all you ladies to accept a free sample and then report to me. Since then, I've tried it, and I've had numerous complaints from you girls, so I'm canceling the account right now. I'm mad. I may get into a little trouble about this, but I want you to know that Grandma Llewellyn's liquid lather shampoo will never be mentioned on this program as long as I have anything to say about it.
Good morning, Station KHJP. What's that, madam? After listening to Honest Harold, you're pouring your Grandma Llewellyn's liquid lather shampoo down the drain? I'll tell him. No, I don't think it'll hurt the drain. Thanks for draining. I mean, for calling. Hello, Station KH. Oh, hello, Rosemary. Little old Gloria was just about to call you. Did you hear Honest Harold's program this morning? Well, he just went off the air, and between you and me, it's liable to be for the last time. Boss Carruthers called his nephew, Mr. Peabody, and Mr. Peabody is going to call Harold, and... Oh, here comes Harold out of the studio. I'll call you back.
Well, good morning, Glory. Did you hear my program this morning?
Yes, I did, Mr. Hamp. And Mr. Peabody heard it, too. He was eating his breakfast at the time.
Oh?
He choked on his yogurt.
Did you? He did, eh? Oh, my goodness. Well, you know my policy, Gloria. I test all my products before I... By the way, did you test that new product for me over the weekend?
Oh, yes. I spent the entire weekend sunbathing.
Good. How did that freckle cream work out?
Oh, just wonderful. Got a whole new crop of freckles.
Gloria, you're a fine guinea pig.
Thank you, kind sir.
Well, see you tomorrow, same time, same station.
I hope so.
Yeah. What?
Mr. Peabody wants to see you in his office right away.
Is he in there now?
I'm afraid so. I can hear him tapping his fingers.
I know what you mean. Well, that's radio. Give and take. Only so far I haven't found many who'll take what I have to give. Well, hold the phone and keep your lines crossed.
Don't I always? Good luck.
Yeah, thanks. She's a nice kid. Well, here goes nothing. Maybe I was a little hasty about canceling that shampoo account and right on the air like that. I don't know, though. My listeners objected to the stuff. Besides, I tried it yesterday and took all the wave out of my hair. Hair. No, sir, I did the right thing. And I'm going to walk right in and tell Mr. Peabody to... Well, maybe I'd better peek through the keyhole first. But a big shot Stanley Peabody so much as raises his voice to me, I'll... Yeah, thank you for opening the door.
Well, drop in.
I almost did.
I'm glad you're in such a jovial mood. Yeah? It may help you digest what I've been discussing with my uncle, Mr. Carruthers. Sit down. Sit down.
Thank you. New furniture, eh? Nice.
Yes, look about you. This fine radio station. Thousands upon thousands of dollars were spent erecting these handsome studios.
Cheap cement.
The finest electrical engineers designed our powerful transmitters. Mr. Carruthers even hired me at great expense to run the organization.
Relative.
Then you come along and nullify it all.
Nullify? Now hold on, Peabody.
You're the one that had better try to hold on to your job. You're on probation.
Probation?
Yes. You've gone about as far as you can making the decisions around here. It's got to stop. Stop, do you hear?
The only way I could hear it any better, chum, is if you were sitting in my lap.
This idea of canceling an advertiser without consulting the management of this station has got to stop. Stop.
I'm sorry, Stanley, but I must uphold my principles.
Your principles? What about this radio station? What's going to hold us up?
Not this cheap cement, brother.
You've done a lot of unconventional things in your time, but what possible justification did you have to cancel that shampoo account?
Well, my listeners complained about it.
And just what great fault did your listeners find with the shampoo?
Well, as one little woman put it, there's too much sham and not enough poo.
Well, if the product's no good, why did you accept it in the first place?
Well...
We wouldn't have accepted it. Honest Harold, you've made Mr. Carruthers very angry. You've made me very angry, too. You ruined my breakfast this morning.
I'm sorry you choked on your yogurt. I mean...
Please, now listen to me. Harold Hemp, if you must crusade, why don't you go after something worthwhile? Such as lowering taxes.
Are taxes too high?
Or try to do something to better Melrose Springs.
Huh?
I'll give you an example. Mrs. Carruthers, my aunt, who you know is the political leader among the women of this town, is planning to run me for mayor. Now, why don't you convince your listeners that I should be their next mayor?
I thought you wanted me to do something to better Melrose Springs.
Get out! And remember, you've got one more chance.
But stand...
Get out before I do something that'll put me in True Detective magazine!
Guess I'd better go. That's murder. True Detective magazine. That Peabody. I'd like to condense his head for Reader's Digest. Only they wouldn't buy it. What a fine mayor he'll make. Why didn't I fight back? I don't have to take that sort of talk from anybody. My 1936 Essex is almost paid for. This is a free country. Of course, I don't want to be so free I don't have a job. I've got responsibilities. There's Mother, little Billy. Got to keep little Billy with me or he'll drift back to the racetracks.
Hey there, crooner.
Well, hello, Doc.
Talking to yourself, aren't you? Well, that's better than talking to some people I know. I always did prefer animals to people.
Yeah, I know, Doc.
Fact is, that's why I became a veterinarian instead of an M.D. Animals are more considerate. I never did have a horse call me in the middle of the night unless it was serious.
Yeah, you're wonderful, Doc. Can I drop you any place?
Well, I'm heading home.
Fine, hop in.
I just came downtown to get some dog biscuits. Have one? Better take two, they're small.
No, thank you.
Cran full of vitamins. Mm-hmm. They don't crackle or pop, but they got plenty of snap.
Doc, don't tell me you eat those things.
No, I just give them to my dogs. Only things that'll keep them from barking during your radio program.
I'd like to feed some of those dog biscuits to Stanley Peabody. He looks like an air dishel.
You and Stanley don't get along too well, do you? Well, not many fellas do when they're in love with the same girl.
I guess not. If Stanley could get me out of the way, he'd probably marry Evelina.
Can't understand what you two see in that niece of mine. All she is young and pretty.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Well, all us Yanceys are. Yes. She's domineering, though. Why, she even tells old man Carruthers how to run his newspaper. If I had a secretary like that, I'd...
I'd marry her if she'd have me.
Well, she's taking care of me, the twins, and all the stray dogs and cats I'm treating. I don't know if she's got room for one more.
What?
Besides, my nephew from Cleveland's planning to visit us.
Oh.
Quite a fellow, that boy. Makes $45 a week when he's not striking.
Well, this is a fine time for me to be thinking about getting married, Doc. I'm about to lose my job.
What? Again?
Yeah, serious this time. In fact, Mr. Carruthers had Stanley put me on probation. He says if I want a crusade, I've got to get behind some community project.
What are you slowing down for? Is this spring wagon out of gas?
Oh, no. This is the school zone, Doc.
Oh, yeah. Say, if you want a good community project, son, how about getting the town to build a livery stable? A
livery stable? There aren't any horses in this town.
Well, that might bring them back. Get some of these cars off the streets. Devil's plaything.
Now, Doc, you're just an old fuddy-duddy.
Oh, say, watch out for that little kid.
What? Oop, I'll drive around him. Hang on, Doc. Made it.
Where are we?
Up on the curb. And I suspect only three tires left. Certainly close. Look at that scallywag run for the schoolhouse. I'll bet he's scared.
He's scared.
There ought to be a policeman on this corner. Say, Doc.
I'm getting an idea.
Let me out. I'm getting a horse.
Well, it took me all day to contact the school principals, but they're all behind me. I just can't wait to tell Evelina about this. I hope the dear little twin sisters have gone to bed. Old Doc Yak Yak, too. Dear old Doc. I wonder if the old boy sleeps standing up like a horse.
Oh, come in, Harold.
Well, thank you, Evie. Lovely dress.
Oh, thank you. I was hoping you'd drop over. I've been worried. I understand you had some trouble at the radio station.
Yeah, I did. But today I hit on a plan that'll make Mr. Carruthers approve of me.
Well, take it from his secretary, Harold. It'll have to be quite an idea.
Oh, this is. I'm going to start a radio campaign to put a policeman in every corner of every schoolhouse so that our children can cross our streets.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Harold. Is Mr. Carruthers enthused?
Well, I haven't spoken to Mr. Carruthers yet. Got a call in for Stanley to call me here.
Oh.
Hey, what's that you're doing?
Oh, I'm proofreading a series of articles that Mr. Carruthers wrote for a Sunday editorial. It's on one of his pet subjects, lip reading.
Lip reading?
He's a bit deaf, you know.
Deaf, too? Oh.
Well, I've discovered that you can learn a lot about people by watching their lips.
Well, a fella doesn't like to just watch some lips. Yeah.
Oh, Harold. You know, I've been practicing lip reading here in front of the mirror.
Mirror? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be more fun practicing with something not quite so cold? A nice, live, chubby assistant? I'm available. Yeah.
All right. Now you watch how my lips form the words.
Oh, brother, I'm watching.
Now, after me, make the lips form a simple word like rhubarb.
Rhubarb. Well, this is silly.
No, it isn't.
It isn't? Well, it may have some merit. Let's see. Now it's my turn. Now you form a word with me, huh? Ready? Say prunes.
All right. Prunes. Harold, that wasn't fair.
No, but it was mighty tasty. Evie.
Yes?
It's strange that lip reading should make me think of marriage, but now that I'm sure of my job again and...
Oh, that must be Stanley now.
Yeah, he timed it well. I'll get it. Hello?
Is that you, Hemp? Did you call me?
Yes, I did, Stanley. I've taken your advice.
Oh, really?
Your suggestion about crusading to better Melrose Springs? I want you to tell Mr. Carruthers about it.
Oh, I certainly will. You mean about deciding to back me for mayor?
Oh, no, no. My idea is to have a policeman on every corner at every school.
What? A policeman on every corner? Hemp, do you realize that there are 4 schools in this town and that there are 4 coppers at each school? That's 16 additional policemen.
8, 12, 16. He's right.
16 policemen. Do you know what that means?
It means safety for our school children.
It means higher taxes. And do you know who pays most of the taxes in this town?
Well, Mr. Carruthers, of course.
Exactly. And what, may I ask, is wrong with the suggestion I gave you?
You mean to back you for mayor?
Certainly.
Well, Stanley, as one of my lady listeners so aptly put it, too much sham and not enough poo.
That did it. To coin a phrase, my dear boy... You've reached the end of your rope, Hemp.
Hey, that's kind of clever.
What?
You're fired.
Fired? But Stanley. I guess he didn't like my idea.
Are you finished, Harold?
Yeah, I sure am. Well, Mother always said, it's important to have an open mind, but I've got a hole in my head.
We'll return for the second act of our story, Honest Harold, in just a moment. But first, be listening later tonight when Horace Height presents the cream of the talent he's found in his journeys around and about America. The Horace Height Original Youth Opportunity Program is heard every Sunday on most of these same CBS stations. And now, back to the Harold Perry Show. We're back in Honest Harold's hometown, Melrose Springs. It's the next day, and we find ourselves at the radio station. Little Billy, the Mighty Mite, has just stepped out of the elevator with a very large bag of mail and is making his way to the reception desk.
Hiya, beautiful. Well, here I am with the mail. Say, could I tout you in playing a little post office?
Billy, how can you make jokes at a time like this?
Well, it is a little early, Gloria.
No, I mean, hasn't Harold told you?
Something I should know?
Well, I guess he didn't want to worry you. But he isn't the homemaker here anymore.
What?
He's been replaced with an organ recital.
Hey, I gotta see him. Where did he go?
Home to Mother, I guess. Oh, oh.
Now, Harold, stop worrying. Everything happens for the best.
Yes, Mother. By the way, it's nice having lunch at home like this again for a change.
Don't you want a little dessert, Harold?
I think I've had enough lunch, Mother. I'm trying to keep my weight down, you know.
Oh, you're not too fat?
Oh, yes, I am. The last time I took a train trip and got into an upper, it immediately became a lower.
Oh, you're just healthy looking. But you won't be if you don't stop worrying and eat more.
Well, you can save my dessert for little Billy.
There you go. Always thinking about other people. Now, take me, for instance.
You?
Yes. I hold you back. A nice boy like you should be married and have a home of his own. A man deserves those things when he's touching 40.
I'm not touching 40, Mother. I'm beating the living daylights out of it. Besides, I couldn't do without you. Well, I'm off.
Where? You haven't a program anymore.
I found a program, Mother. I'm going down to the Hoover School. If the city won't hire extra policemen, I'll direct traffic there.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, my boy. Oh, but here, if you're going to school, I'd better wrap up your dessert.
Oh, but Mother...
Now, Harold, remember how hungry you always got when you went to school? Here's your pie.
Pie?
Yes, lemon chiffon.
But Mother, remember my diet.
Lemon is on your diet.
Yeah, there. Theirs is not to make reply. Theirs is not to reason why. Theirs but to do and die. I guess I'll take the piece of pie. Oh, dear, what am I going to do with this piece of pie? Can't hold it in my hand while I'm directing traffic. Oh, well, I'll eat it. Wonderful. Good crust. Dear old Mother. She really thinks I ought to get married. Married to Evie. That'd be wonderful. Evelina, won't you pay a little mind to that moon? Evelina, can't you hear that little old bobolink's tune? Evelina, she's so pretty. She can't cook as well as Mother, but that's good. I can stay on my diet. What about Mother and little Billy? Maybe Billy could be our babysitter. Babies. I don't want a large family. Five would be enough. Oh, but here I am dreaming again. Haven't even got a job. Probably have to leave Melrose Springs. Maybe I could get a job in television. I could be a test pattern. Evie would probably marry Stanley Peabody then. Well, he's going to be mayor. She'd like that. Mrs. Mayor Peabody, oh, brother.
Hey, Harold!
Oh, little Billy. I want to see him now. I'll walk faster and lose that little jockey.
Hey, where are you off and running?
Oh, hello, little Billy.
What's this I hear about you being scratched?
Yeah, scratched?
Yeah, declared, fired.
Billy, must you always use that racetrack lingo? You've got everybody in this town doing it.
Sure, I'm getting to be a favorite here.
There you go again.
Hey, do you want me to take care of this Peabody?
Huh?
Why, I'll put a burr under his saddle and I'll ride him into the rail.
Now, Billy, you promised me when you came to live with us here in Melrose Springs that you wouldn't get in any trouble.
But you got a lot of good races left in you. I ain't letting them send you to the glue factory.
Glue? Now, Billy?
Come on. We'll fight Carruthers and Peabody, you and me, will pool our forces.
Excuse me, Billy, but that's no pool. That's a bird bath. Besides, Billy, I don't want to fight anybody. They did turn down my school plan, but I still think I was right. So I'm going to the Hoover School myself.
You mean you're going to direct traffic?
Sure, somebody's got to help those children across the street.
Well, Peabody may think he's running you out of the money, but his nose ain't crossed the wire yet. Huh? See you later.
And Billy, what are you up to?
Me nothing. Excuse me, I got to see a horse doctor about a stubborn mule.
Horse doctor about a mule? Well, that sounds logical.
Dr. Yancey speaking. It's your nickel star talking.
Doc, this is Billy. I gotta see you right away. I'm at 6th and Hoover.
But I'm in consultation with a patient.
A patient?
Yeah, I'm clipping a sheep.
That sheep can wait. The one I want to see you about has been clipped. That's good.
Well, okay, I'll be there in a minute. Things are never the same again after you have a phone put in. Meh. I'll shear you later.
All right. Come along, infants. Scoot across while I have the car stop. Don't stand there looking at me. Come on. Scoot. Yes, yes. Hello, Joey. How's your mommy? All right, you and that hot rod, and proceed with caution. Pull in that pipe, brother. All right, children, let's cross right away and let's look where we're going now, huh? That's it, that's it. All right, mister, you're next, you're next. Well, so are you, I think. I wonder what he said. I wish I did know something about lip reading. Thank you for waiting for the children, ma'am. I wonder if she's got a license. Well, I kind of like this kind of work. Maybe I missed my calling. Guess I'm just a frustrated policeman. Getting kind of quiet, though. Imagine all the classes have been dismissed. Seems to be the last of the kiddies.
Can I cross now, Constable?
Well, hello, Doc.
How are you getting along with your new job?
Well, that's a bigger job than I thought it was going to be. I think I need a whistle.
Well, if you wait until that new third grade teacher walks by, I'll whistle for you.
Doc, remember your age.
I never have to. Everybody else does.
Anyway, the children have all gone home. I think I'll go, too.
Oh, wait a minute, Harold. I just got here. Why don't you stick around for a while? Show me your stuff.
Oh, no. I'm all finished here.
Well, there may be another kid or two around playing behind the schoolhouse.
I don't think so, Doc.
Well, besides, isn't this about the time that Mrs. Carruthers drives Stanley Peabody by here on the way home?
Well, yes, it is nearly 4 o'clock, and they do it every day.
Well, if I was you, I'd stick around and let Stanley see you donating your services to the town like this.
Huh?
Yeah, that'll make him mighty ashamed of himself.
Well, I doubt that, Doc. Anyway, let's let bygones be bygones.
Well, you stick to that attitude, and it won't be long. Say, who's that upstart in that station wagon?
Looks like Mrs. Carruthers' car.
Yeah, she's traveling pretty fast.
Yeah, too fast. Say, look at that child in that cowboy suit. Where did he come from?
Say, he's going to run across the street.
He can't see on account of that big hat he's wearing. Little boy, don't run out there on the street.
Oop, he stumbled and fell.
Stop! Stop that car!
Harold, don't jump in front of that car!
Stop! Oh, brother, that was close.
Is that you, Mr. Hemp?
Yes, Mrs. Carruthers.
Is the child all right?
Yeah, he's okay. Look at him streak through those bushes.
What are you doing standing out there in the middle of the street, Hemp?
What does it look like, Stanley? I've been directing traffic.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it.
Oh, Mr. Hemp, how can I ever thank you? You kept me from hitting that youngster.
Yeah, well, that's why I was here.
This is a dangerous spot. There should be policemen on these corners to act as crossing guards.
You're so right, Mrs. Carruthers.
Something should be done immediately. Mr. Hemp, why don't you campaign for it on your wonderful radio program?
Well, I don't have a radio program anymore.
What?
Stanley fired me.
What's this, Stanley?
Now, Andy, I just take orders from Mr. Carruthers.
Well, Mr. Carruthers takes orders from me.
I'll bet he does it that.
Doc.
Mr. Hemp, you've been rehired.
I have?
Yes.
But it may not be for long.
Well, that's... It won't?
For a long time now, we've needed an honest man in Melrose Springs. One who is interested in our city and our children. When the women voters of Melrose Springs meet tomorrow, I'm going to submit your name for mayor.
Me? Mayor?
Sinatra here is your boy, ma'am.
Andy, I thought you were going to support me.
We support you anyway.
That's your corner. Yeah.
Doc. But Mrs. Carruthers, do you think I'm really qualified? I don't think I want to be mayor.
Now, don't argue with me, young man. You're as good as elected. Stanley, close your mouth and let's go home. Goodbye, honest Harold.
Hey, goodbye, Mrs. Carruthers. Well, isn't she so sweet?
Yeah, well, that turned out slick, didn't it?
Doc, it couldn't have been planned better.
Yep. What'd you say?
You can tell little Billy to come out from behind those bushes now.
Shucks.
Gosh, Hal, how did you know I was the kid?
Yeah, we thought that little hop-along Cassidy suit was a perfect disguise.
Well, I've been thinking. Nobody but a jockey could take a fall like that, roll over, and come up on his feet running. I ought to be real upset with both of you. That wasn't honest, fellas.
No, that was politics. Yeah. And with us behind you, you'll be mayor before you know it.
Mayor, eh? Well, good night, voters. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've just heard the Harold Perry Show, Honest Harold. The supporting players included Jerry Maron, Ken Peters, Doris Singleton, Catherine Card, and Lois Corbett. And featured Gloria Holliday as Gloria and Joseph Kearns as old Doc Yak Yak. Norman McDonald directed, and the music was composed and conducted by Jack Meekin. William Danch contributed additional dialogue to Mr. Perry's original script. Hit the Jackpot, previously heard at this time, has moved to CBS on Tuesday night on most of these same CBS stations. Be listening this next Tuesday night for Bill Cullen and Hit the Jackpot, won't you? Stay tuned for Percy Faith and his Pause That Refreshes music, which follows immediately on most of these same stations. This is CBS, where Call Us Out is heard on Sunday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
An episode of The Harold Perry Show, also known as Honest Harold. Program number one in the series. Actually, I guess you could say program number two if you count the audition program which preceded it. Harold loses his job. That CBS broadcast from September 17th of 1950. You'll notice that Harold Perry brought many of the great Gildersleeve's trademarks to this new series, including the laugh. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of the program. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Please join me again soon for another hour of sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.